You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I waited out this year's election differently than I have in the past because of our move from Saskatchewan to Alabama earlier in the year. My present circumstances meant that I could not vote. Instead, I steadied myself. I watched and I prayed. Sometimes I was a bit dismayed by the candidates as they veered off the priorities that most people had, matters related to the economy, healthcare, education, etc. For example, one of the leaders began to cast personal attacks against his opponent, and she returned fire. And soon it was just a mess that seemed to generate more fear than anything else. Finally, election day came and went, thankfully, and he was elected with a sizable majority. I am, of course, speaking about the Saskatchewan provincial election that was held on the 28th of October. You knew that, right? Scott Moe, leader of the conservative-leaning Saskatchewan Party, was reelected for another four-year term over Carla Beck, leader of the liberal-leaning New Democrat Party. Well, I'm sure that you discerned why I was interested in my home and native land and some of its political realities. What I'm sad to admit is how often my global vision of reality can be so short-sighted, so provincial, so narrow when it comes to matters of culture, politics, and history. I'm guessing, though, that I'm not alone in this. As one looks back across church history, it seems that every generation struggles with getting trapped by the fears of their own day, their own local realities that are generated by political and economic shifts, and by the chaos that results when local disasters occur. For example, in the first century, Christians grappled with the political instability when the first Jewish war broke out in AD 67. The next year, Nero died, and then that was followed by the next year when there were four emperors in one year. Additionally, most of the church leaders were martyred in the 50s and 60s. And then Mount Vesuvius blew and erupted in AD 79, and that caused massive and rapid changes to the environment in the Mediterranean region. A little bit later on in church history, in the second century, in the later part of it, a plague hit the Roman Empire, and at least a third of the population was killed. Then, in the early 4th century, Emperor Diocletian led a persecution of the church marked by destruction of Christian writings and buildings, the execution of Christians, and a decree forbidding Christians from even gathering to pray. Later, in the mid-14th century, the Black Death struck Europe. It was one of the deadliest in human history, followed by religious and political turmoil in the 16th century. In our own era, two world wars occurred, causing many to wonder if the end was near. My point is simply this. Each generation of Christians faces perplexing circumstances caused by environmental catastrophes, signs in sun and moon and stars, by geopolitical chaos, nations in perplexity, that cause some believers to faint with fear and foreboding of what is coming to the world. Into this darkness and mirroring the changing seasons, in the Northern Hemisphere at least, when the days are darker and colder, we begin a new year in the Christian calendar today. Today is Advent 1. Happy New Year. As Fleming Rutledge notes, though, Advent always begins in the dark. The darkness is not just environmental or political or economic, it is also spiritual. We live in a dark and foreboding world that can lead many into the trap that the evil one repeatedly sets, the trap of fear. And so, as always, we need Jesus' gospel words to steady our hearts and fuel our courage. We need his apocalyptic words. Apocalyptic, that's a fancy way of saying words that reveal and uncover. We need these revealing words so characteristic of the biblical lessons that you will hear over the coming weeks in the season of Advent. These words expose and uncover realities so that our vision of reality is not blinded by cultural fog or dimmed by political darkness or dulled by parties and shopping. At this time of the year, it can be a temptation to want only words of warmth because it's cold here, apparently. It's not cold here. It really is not. My daughter sent me a message this morning, and Fahrenheit, it is minus 22 where she lives. That's cold. Sorry. But we want these words of warmth because it's a little cooler. We want words that have lightness to them because it's a little darker. And we want nostalgic words, it seems, because we think maybe there was some bygone era when things were better. Into this Advent season, however, if we're attentive, if we're listening, we will hear Jesus speak better words. Words that are stark and apocalyptic, yes, but words that break in and surprise us too. The annual Advent cycle alerts us to the change that is afoot. Changes that are astronomical, geopolitical, climatological. This is not gentle news. This is cosmic stuff. But Jesus' words are not intended to generate fear or add to the foreboding. Rather, they are meant to steady us. The first imperative, straighten up and raise your heads. Jesus wants to steady us by equipping us with truth because we know that the kingdom of God is near. Jesus' gospel words remind us that these circumstances in the world, locally or globally, are normal. They occur in every generation that has ever lived on the earth. By normalizing these realities, Jesus removes the fangs of fear from the evil one. Jesus' words are not intended to have us fret or be confused about the world. Jesus is simply saying, this is common. Jesus has anticipated it, and he is preparing us for it. Jesus' language is to steady us for these end times. Again, listen to the imperatives of our gospel passage. Straighten up and raise your heads. Brace yourself, he says in verse 28. And then in verse 29, look to the fig tree. And in verse 31, know these things taking place. Learn and understand the signs, he says. Verse 34, watch yourselves. Don't let the sharp edge of your expectation get dulled by partying, drinking, and shopping. And then finally in verse 36, stay awake. Be attentive in prayer. All of these imperatives, by the way, are plural. That is, we need each other to keep them together, to uphold one another in them. Sometimes it's hard on our own. We don't have to do it on our own. We are doing it corporately, reminding one another. So we have things to do, yes? Jesus commands us, yes. But all our activities are built on the solid realities that Jesus looks after. I'll be honest. While moving to Birmingham has been a blessing and a joy to both Darlene and me, we have had a few challenges too. Personally, I like to try to mitigate challenges. I want to control outcomes. But a lot of the stuff facing us in our move and facing anybody who moves, whether it's across town or across the continent, many of the challenges are just out of our control. Our moving company, our housing situation, our finances, our credit rating, our family dynamics, our taxes, our health, these are things that I cannot control completely. I cannot manage all of those outcomes. But Jesus, not the challenges of this world, is ultimately in control of these things. Jesus does ask us to do things. There are imperatives to obey, but we are to leave the big realities, the indicatives, the status of our being up to him. That is, the things that will happen in God's providence, not least of all, the time when all people will see the Son of Man coming with power and great glory. We can't control any of that, but we are called to be watchful and prayerful. The things that are going to be will be. So Jesus says, straighten up, raise your heads, look, know, watch, stay awake. Don't be surprised by the normal circumstances of this world. We are given limited and meaningful agency. We are invited to participate in what God is doing, but his redemption is drawing near. Help is coming, whether we are steady and courageous or overcome with fear and foreboding. The cosmic signs occurring around us, heavenly disruptions, geopolitical distress, environmental uproars, all of these are signs, much like birth pangs are signs for a pregnant woman, pointing to the fact that someone is coming. Recently, I listened to a conversation between two friends, and one of them asked this: can my life be a sign that is pointing people to the reality of God rather than encouraging fear or foreboding or distress? Further, he asked, is there something about the life of faith that can be a compelling sign that says God is near? Can we incarnate and embody the nearness of God as a community? A community of faith for our neighbors and for those we're in relationship with. We can only do this because Jesus gives us his Spirit to guide us into the truth of his words. And Jesus' words give us true and authentic glimpse of the end, the promised end of all history, the fulfillment of all our hopes and dreams of all the years. Well, we don't know the details of the end. We know how it will turn out. Redemption is drawing near. So then, because you know Jesus, because he gives you his word, because you have received his Spirit, because you know the end, may you live in these troubling and often chaotic days with courage. May your heart be guided and guarded from any foreboding threat or fearful trap led and laid by the evil one. May you be steadied by the reality that God's kingdom is near. May you be like a tree alongside other trees, firmly rooted in the forest of faith so that you can stand up straight amidst troubling winds. May you be a living sign that alerts others to the glorious coming of the Son of Man. And may these Advent days meet your holy desires with deep, deep peace. I ask this in the loving name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.